This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food. Of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and today we bring you Dancing Gangnam Style.
Open Gangnam Style!
Okay, not Gangnam, but actually Gangnam. So we're talking Southern Odisha, India, not Seoul, South Korea. Classical, not contemporary. From Odisha comes Odissi, one of India's classical dance forms. And the mention of Odissi inevitably takes our minds to Sutra Dance Theatre and its artistic director, Datuk Ramli Ibrahim, who's here today with one of the featured performers in Gangnam, Vaniza Vazanthanathan. I need to take my time with that one. Ramli, we've had you on air before, but Vaniza, this is your first time here.
Yes.
How long have you been dancing and how regularly do you keep at it?
I started dancing when I was 15, so it's almost 7 years. So, yeah, I'm still continue dancing, yeah.
Is this something you practice at Ramli's place, Sutra House?
Yes.
On a regular basis?
Yes, it's like one time per week. Yeah, there's like every Monday. We have like 1.5 hour classes, yeah.
What brought you to dancing in the first place?
Actually, I love... started to love dancing when I was a kid. I wanted to join Bharatanatyam class, but a master recommended me to join Odissi classes.
Oh, I like that master.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, I've been called master down the street of New York.
So, yeah, and then I went for one class and I just look at how Odissi works. And so, yeah, I fall in love with Odissi at first sight, yeah.
Now, currently you're a full-time model,
yes.
Right? I mean, you're not full-time, you're a model.
Model and a dancer.
Because you're a dancer too. Because full-time is, I would have to exclude Ramli out of this conversation. As a model, do you find that the dancing helps you be a model?
Yeah, of course. It helps me a lot. Because as much as people thinking that modeling is just like, you know, wearing nice clothes, you know, just walking on runway, it's actually more than that. So, just like dance, our shows or any photo shoot, we have like different kind of stories, like team and, you know, and the designers want different kind of mood. So same as dance, you know, we have every songs, we have like different rasa, which is like feel or mood. So so throughout dance, I learned how to express myself, you know, my self-esteem, you know, and my confidence level is gained. So I think it's helped me a lot in modeling career, yep.
Whenever we talk about dance, we inevitably end up talking about physique, you know, because it's an important thing. How is a dancer's body different from the rest of us? And how do you determine who, you know, who would be best suited to what form of dance?
Well, I think in reference to what Vaniza was saying, that I think a person becomes much more aware of the body and becomes less inhibited to move about. And so I think this is where Vaniza, with her training in dance, becomes is more advantage than the general beautiful run-of-the-mill face
run
is not.
Beautiful cannot be run-of-the-mill, Ramli.
Well, there's so many pretty faces around. I used to tell my dancers that even my dog, actually she's, if you put makeup on her and some sunglasses and a bit of a thing, she can look beautiful. And so it's not really a problem. It's not really a problem to be pretty beautiful, but to be interesting, to be mysterious, where the body also speaks. Yeah. And I think this is where, and of course, as a dancer with Sutra, they do a lot of improvisation. They are not intimidated by the camera or anything like that. So going back again to your question, Lynn, I think that the body is very important because it is the instrument for the dancer, because they have to be more expressive with the body. They have to speak with the body. They have to tell that story with the body. So I think this is important, but what makes a truly powerful dancer, that's another thing altogether.
Now, earlier you mentioned that, you know, at one time she was too tall to dance with you, I mean, with your company. So what has changed?
Well, I mean, what happened is that I think with Vanessa, because there's a lot of group works, because I'm dealing with a lot of dancers, and we cannot just have a solo dancer unless you are so wonderful. Now that Vanessa perhaps have proven herself in the dancing field, that I can perhaps do something that is specially for her. So in Ganjam, for example, there are certain parts that is very suitable for her. She has a really interesting tribal look, and Ganjam is about folk dance, tribal kind of feeling that we want to inject back again to the classical form. So she was perfect for it. And I think Dr. Dinanath Pati, who is our collaborator in Odisha, remarked that at first he did not understand, you know, how Vanessa, without the makeup and the full kind of thing, she may look ordinary. But this is what I like about dancers. They have to look ordinary. But after the transformation, then they become something really fantastic. And this is, and there are some dancers who are very beautiful. Once they put their makeup on, it does it the opposite. They look terribly, actually, out of place, actually.
The question about, you know, is there an ideal body type for Indian dancing, Indian classical dancing?
Well, Indian classical dance is not like ballet, because ballet, there is a point where the balance has got to be related to the body parts. If you have an arabesque or a turn in attitude on point, you've got to have a certain body types. If you've got boobs going left and right, how can you maintain a balance?
This is a family show, yeah?
Yes.
I think boobs is okay.
So what happened here in dance also, you know, in Indian dance, the body has got to be beautiful. The nartaki or the nartak has got to be pleasant to look at and things like that.
What is that term that you just used?
Nartaki is a female dancer. Nartak is a male dancer. It's a kind of a hero, heroine that is projected in a Sanskrit drama dance. You know that in traditional dramaturgy, there is no separation of dance, drama, and all that kind of stuff. They come together. An actor at one stage is also a dancer. So here you can see that the definition of a good dancer, male, female, they have to have a pleasant face, they have to have expressive face. The body is important, but not, you know, I mean, it's not as important as, say, ballet, which is so technical. But what is important is this thing called rasa. They have to be expressive in the face. They have to be able to evoke that emotional, high emotional state within the audience. And that is more powerful than just the body.
Based on my understanding that, you know, a lot of Indian classical dancings, you have a lot of these postures and positions kind of captured in architecture, and they tend to show women with a little
absolutely
bit more meat on them than, you know, ballet dancers.
Voluptuous, oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to use that word.
It's better than more meat.
Thank you, Lynn, because I'm a feminist.
Yes, exactly.
No, but she's quite
skinny.
Thin as a, she's more like a model.
Well, to tell you the truth, there's nothing that we cannot help, because most of their choli has been padded anyway. So they will look like...
I was very stiff at first, you know, when I started to join ODC. I was very stiff, and, you know, Master used to tell me, bend more, you know. So actually, throughout the 7 years, I think I improved a lot, I would say. Yeah, so somehow, even in modeling, you know, we have to do a lot of poses that we need to bend, you know, So we need that stamina. Absolutely. So I think, yeah, so I think it's even wearing the 6-inch heels, we need stamina in our leg, you know. So I think dance helps a lot. Yeah.
No, dance is very athletic.
It is. Earlier you spoke about how when Vanessa came along, you were like, okay, I can't, you know, just build a dance around you, you know, off the bat.
Yes.
What does it take for you to look at somebody and think, okay, you've earned your stripes. I think now we can, you know, proceed to doing something that focuses on you.
Well, you know, there are a lot of ideas that I've already set, you know, over the years. So it has to hit the point where I say that, you know, Vanessa can do something. I think every one of my dancers are a major talent. I see that potential. I mean, at this point, when they have been working for about 10 years, they are actually waiting. The problem with a dancer is they have to wait for the choreographer to find them. Yeah, but in the classical form, yes, you can do the classical work, you know. But to do a special work, I think, you know, I mean, you need to find, you know, a choreographer which finds that you are the muse to do something. You know, that's important.
We're speaking today with Ramli Ibrahim, Artistic Director of Sutra Foundation, and Vanessa Vazanthanandan, performer. We're talking about Dancing Ganjam. Up next, we continue our conversation and kind of focus on your upcoming performance. You're listening today to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Da da ni da pa da ni sa re sa sa ni da pa da ni sa hey 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 hey. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health. Good afternoon. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. I'm joined by Lim Soon Hing, as well as Dr. Ramli Ibrahim, Artistic Director of Sutra Foundation, and Vanessa Vazanthanandan, performer. We're talking about Dancing Ganjam. And Soon Hing.
You know, Ramli, to the uninitiated like us, what are the characteristics of Odissi, which is one of many, I think, 8, right?
Yes.
Indian classical dancing. How is this different from the other classical dances?
Yes. Well, Odissi comes from Orissa, which is the eastern part of India. I think during the 10th century, there is a kind of a break from a pan dance of with Sanskrit as the pan language. So they developed the vernaculars, you know. So you have the 8 classical forms developing in different parts of India. And, you know, like, for example, you have Bharatanatyam from the south and Odissi in the eastern part of India. Odisha is what Kalinga used to be. Now, Odissi developed this incredible characteristic tribhangi, which is the 3 bands of the head, torso, and the hip, and the chauka position and all that kind of thing. The jewelry that it uses is silver instead of, say, gold in down south. The music is also different, not the Carnatic music. So there are many, many, many differences. And the literature that it uses also is from Orissa or, you know, things like that. So you can see straight away that there is a difference. Though, they follow the general outline of the Natya Shastra, which is the treatise on Indian dance dramaturgy that was conceived already between the 2nd and 5th century AD. So there you are, you know. So all the classical form follow this Natya Shastra. But it has also regional differences.
As far as Indian dancers are concerned, I mean, a lot of them tell stories,
yes,
right? Is this, in a way, kind of, if I'm, you know, I'm always thinking with my Western education, in that, you know, ballet, for the most part, because it's so concerned with form, it always needs a kind of a story, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, whatever, to kind of undergird it. Is Indian dancing, does it follow the same kind of route?
Very much, because the form is important, but within the form, the storytelling happens also. But without the form, you cannot just concentrate on pure drama without the movement. So the form is there. So definitely there's also pure dance like the Pallavi or the Shtai, or there are pure dance which does not tell that story. If you look at Indian classical dance, you can divide it into major sections, the expressive part, which tells a story related to the rasa, and the pure dance style, which related to form, the beauty of the aesthetics of form.
When we look at classical dance, we tend to associate it with the past, I think, just by virtue of the word classical being there, by virtue of the forms being as old as they are. You know, we're often talking centuries. So as a result, I think when we watch classical dance, we seem to be looking at forms that haven't changed much. Would you say that there's been any adaptation to the present?
I beg to differ from this point of view, because most of the classical forms are created now. They are also contemporary, the contemporary classical Odyssey. In fact, Odyssey is a reconstruction in the last 60 years, a reconstruction from treatises, from temple friezes that the old guru pioneers had formed. So in the new, like me, in Ganjam, for example, most of the repertoires are commissioned by us. We want this. So Ganjam is a place where I did a lot of anthropological research south of Orissa. It's a cultural rich place, and I wanted to inject new vocabulary, new interesting works that will kind of refresh our own repertoire. That is where Sutra makes a difference here, because we are not just being colonized by India. We are also contributing. Sometimes they say that we are bringing curry to Madras. but we go back again to Orissa, which we are going to do with Ganjam. We are going to perform it also in Orissa. We are collaborating with artists from Orissa to share with them that this is also, you know, this is the cross-fertilization that has taken on for ages between India and Malaysia. And eventually, you know, we are a product of this cross-fertilization.
How does Ganjam differ from the Odyssey that's regularly performed?
Well, the thing is that, you know, the format is the same. You know, the Mangalacharanam, the Shtai, Pallavi and all that kind of thing is almost the same. But I wanted to inject, as I said, new vocabulary, new kind of mythic stories that comes from Ganjam itself, new musical forms and composition that comes from Ganjam also. So this is where it's happening. See, what happened is that in classical form, sometimes when it is too classical, too overly classical, it becomes over-refined. I may always say it's like white rice or white bread or white sugar. You know, it's nice to eat, but no food content. So my guru, the late Deba Prasad, has always said that in order for a classical form to be always interesting, it has still reflect the folk tribal event forms that had generated the evolution. So classical form is an evolution of the tribal folk and to classical.
Speaking as a Philistine, trying to provide a kind of an analogy into understanding this, is what you're doing something analogous to classical ballet put into contemporary ballet?
Well, you see what happened is that my view is that we always look at modernity as a separate from tradition. But I feel that this is what happens when you look at modernity in the form of American or European modern dance, which is a total rebellion to classical ballet. But I think in the Asian form, modernity can permeate or function under the same roof as traditional and classical forms. That the line, this is where I feel that we need to redefine modernity. You know, there's a lot of modern stuff that we can find in Ganjam, and the way that the space is being used, but it is using indigenous vocabulary, indigenous music forms, and this is what is exciting about it. This is a kind of thing that is general, that we're bringing forward to a lot of the Asian traditional forms, that the indigenous forms can be more than two.
Vanessa, what was it like for you learning to dance this new vocabulary, you know, working within, I guess, this interplay between what you're used to and then a new entrance, new cultural forms, things like that?
Okay, for me, I was feeling like very nervous at first because Ganjam is my first production and my first stage performance. So for Ganjam season one, it was really, I would say, honestly, it was very hard for me because, you know, we always have that nervousness and stage fright whenever we are on the stage and perform for the first time. So, yeah, but, you know, throughout all, that's why we have rehearsals, like, rather than like regular classes, we have like extra classes like 3 times per week for like 3 to 4 hours. So throughout all the rehearsal, you know, it's helped me a lot. So yeah, I feel really blessed to perform on stage with Master itself.
But
so,
I think,
yeah.
I mean, may I say so, but even within the last 7 months, there's a tremendous influence in the expressivity of Vanessa because, you know, I think there's nothing like the trial of fire of performing.
To really bring that out.
Yes.
There is a question here from a listener, Arya Ratnam, who says, to Master Ramli, what's the acceptance level by Malay Muslims in our country of Indian classical art forms?
Well, I think, there is a very strong ultra-conservatism that has come into Malaysia at the moment. And I think I am a testament of the liberal policy that is expounded by the government. You know, we have been one Malaysia right from the beginning. There are Malay, Chinese, Indian performers within Sutra. But, you have this kind of views of ultra-conservatism exists not just in Muslim, but also in Chinese, Indian communities everywhere. And as long as they do not try to impose their absolutism on us, on everyone, that theirs is the only right way of doing things, then we can all live together.
True. Going back to Ganjam, is Ganjam a series of dances or is this a series of stories, kind of interrelated stories?
Well, Ganjam is a series of, it's not ABC. It is very much a collage. This is one thing about Indian dance or Asian dance, because there is a certain presumption that we are familiar with certain stories. So the reference made to, say, Shiva or the Yogini or to Mother Goddess or something like that rings a bell for those who are in the know. But I think the concept of rasa hits everyone. Everyone has the rasa. And if they're sensitive enough, they are not like frigidaire, they're not absolutely cold, then they will be hit by this incredible thing called rasa.
Who is Guru Gajendra, who was commissioned to choreograph this?
Well, Gajendra was the boy that I had met about 35 years ago, whom I, through his rendition, you know, at that time my guru was there, through his rendition of the technique of the Deba Prasad style, I fell in love and said that this is the style, this is the school of Odissi that I should delve into. And I was right.
So how old is this guru? Because the way you're talking
about, he's of course on his late 40s already. But we had commissioned with him when my teacher, Deba Prasad, passed on. I continued, in a way, cultivating Gajendra. And I did a work called Adoration based on his, observing his relationship with my guru, for example. So it has been continuing for a long time.
Now, this dance, Ganjam, premiered last year during the KL Diversity International Dance Festival. Now, how How has it changed since then? Because this was like late last year, about November, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And then several months have passed now.
Correct.
So, and having seen how the public responded, what kind of changes, if you
well,
did?
Well, what happened was that, you know, we were in charge of 11 world premieres, of which Ganjam was the world premiere that Sutra itself presented. So there was no way that we could
dedicate all your time.
Yes, to Ganjam. But it was also one of the most successful productions. And, you know, this year we need to have a platform for fundraising. So, of course, we will use Ganjam and also take it on Malaysia tour. We are going to Penang and we're going to Ames University, Kedah. And after that, we take it immediately to New Delhi with a big opening in New Delhi, the capital of India, and then take it to Odisha, performing also in Ganjam district. So that's a great odyssey for the time being. But what happened, there is a change. What happened when the work was very good, it was performed at Istana Budaya with all that, you know, Sung Heng, you know, the stage sophistication of the staging, you know, which we were able to find levels and things like that. And we found out that our booking was invalidated at the last minute. I will not talk about this thing, but it says a lot about the integrity of booking in places like Istana Budaya or many of the organizations in Malaysia. We had shifted to now, we had to
DBKL.
To DBKL, and we found that the staging has got to be different. Yeah. Once we change thing, because the level is no longer valid,
right,
we find that, you know, we need to change many, many things, you know. So it's a choreographic challenge, Sun Heng. So in order to make it work on a flat stage, we have to make do, but I can promise you it'll be as interesting.
So now the stage won't move. We are moving ourselves.
Correct. Correct, Vanessa. Yes.
You have to run higher.
Yeah.
And I'm also featuring Vanessa a little bit more because we know that, you know, I mean, she has such an impact on stage that I felt that, you know, it would be a pity not to exploit her more.
The last time you performed, you had a young girl according to your press release,
Kirtana,
like stole the show,
Kirtana, yes,
or stole aspects of the show. Are you going to have children performing again?
Yes, Kirtana is going to perform, but not only Kirtana, she has now an understudy.
Old is the understudy?
They are both 11 years old.
Okay, I thought if you have an understudy of an 11-year-old who's 8.
No. You know, they are two good friends, and they are two result of my outreach program. One is from Kuala Selangor, and the other one is from Kajang. And they are really excellent, and it's frightening to perform with these children because they have such a power. And I agree with Sun Heng, who said that never perform with children or animals beside you. And but with great trepidation, we are doing exactly that. But I must tell you that Kirtana is a true artist. You know, she is not relying on being cute. She is truly, and her intensity is remarkable. And so is this girl, the other girl, Priyanka. She's coming out. She's quite stunning. They're both stunners, really.
Are such children just kind of born to dance? Is there something about them?
I almost felt for both of these girls, they are like a gift that is dropped to us. When I am in doubt whether the present Y generation is going to give a bit more of the talent that I'm looking for, because they are all looking at their digital whatever.
iPad.
So, but these two come out to me as a gift.
No, the comment you're making now just reminded me of a conversation I had with a conductor who was here in town from Austria, Hans Graf, who is conducting a piece by Mozart. In fact, two pieces by Mozart. And he said, you know, I said, Mozart at 17 composed his Symphony 25.
Yes.
And he said, this is a very mature piece for a 17-year-old. And I said, you know, how is that possible? He said, Mozart was born a complete human being. So I think some people are just born with it.
I have to agree, yes.
Ganjam Odyssey, presented by Sutra Foundation, kicks off at the Auditorium Dewan Bandaraya Kuala Lumpur, or DBKL, with a gala fundraiser for the foundation next Wednesday, March 23rd at 8:30 p.m. There are Thursday and Saturday performances at 8:30 p.m. are for the public. Friday and Sunday performances are fundraisers for two charitable institutions. And after performances in KL, the dance troupe will then be taking it on a Malaysian tour to Penang, Sungai Petani, Seremban, Melaka, KK and Kuching. Before going on, I understand, overseas?
Yes, we are going to Delhi, 12th, 13th of April, and then onwards to Bhubaneswar, to Rourkela, and to Berhampur, which is in the Ganjam district itself.
Thank you both very much for coming in today.
Thank
pleasure.
You so much.
Pleasure, Lynn. Pleasure, Sundang.
You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.